Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome, everyone, to this special episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Today, I'm really excited to have a special guest, Prashant Satakal, who is a thought leader in the data and analytics community. Welcome, Prashant. We are so happy to have you here.
My pleasure, Anders. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I'm glad to be part of this show.
That's great to hear. So maybe you can start by telling the listeners a bit more about your background story. How did you become a thought leader within data analytics?
Oh, sure. It's a long journey, but I'll keep it short. So I started working in the 90s in India. I started my journey with an engineering company in Bangalore in India. And then after that, I did my master's in IT. And I joined Procter & Gamble in Brussels, in Belgium, for their SAP implementation team. And then after that, I went back to India, worked for GE, and SAP transferred me to Calgary, Canada in 2009. And since then, I'm based in Canada. I'm doing a couple of things. So overall, I call myself wearing three hats, as a consultant, as an author, and as a professor. In my 3 decades of my professional experience, I've consulted for some very big companies, such as Procter & Gamble, GE, Apple, Shell, and so on and so forth. But at the same time, some small companies as well, which are about a couple of $1 million in revenue, which are about 20-25 member teams. But the problem whether you're talking about the big companies like Shell and Apple or the small companies is the same. How do we get value out of data analytics and the digital technology? So the problem is the same. The scale and the size is different. So that's my consulting experience. Number two is I'm also an author. I'm an advisor for a few companies. I sit on the advisory board of MIT's Chief Data Officer Symposium. I'm an advisor for a venture capital company in Menlo Park in Silicon Valley. And I'm an advisor for a few startups in Switzerland, in Singapore, in India, and in US. The third thing which I do is education, because in my consulting journey, what I have seen is the biggest enabler for change or getting results from digital data and analytics is not technology, is not even data, it's actually education. But don't get me wrong, technology and data are important, but the primary thing, the first thing that matters is actually education. So I have been teaching my data analytics courses in many places. I'm an adjunct professor at IE Business School in Madrid, Spain. I've taught for many corporate in many symposium conferences and so on and so forth. So overall, that's about me. Again, a consultant, an author, and a professor. It's based on my 3 decades of my experience doing many things. Both some have worked well, some have not worked well. I have learned from my failures and I have implemented them in other projects too.
That's definitely quite a story, Prashant. Definitely worthy of the, let's say, the thought leader brand, I would say. And I really like what you say about the education, because it's about people, right? I usually say that at the end of any change you want to make, like a technology implementation, for instance, there's a human being doing something different. So if we don't help that human to actually do that thing differently, then no change will occur. So we have to educate them and help them really make that change. So I really like that aspect of your work, you can say. Maybe you can talk a bit about, so you are in the data analytics space, but how did you first take an interest in this field in the first place?
The first and foremost, given my background in engineering and IT, that brought me some basic skills, some foundational skills or the technical skills required for data analytics. I have a PhD too. Even during my PhD program, which I took almost 15 years to do it, that's a different story. I used a lot of data and analytics to produce papers, to show my results and so on and so forth. So the first thing is about my technical skills and background. I had a lot of conceptual academic skills, which gave me the background in IT, programming, statistics. And I also have a degree MBA, which also gave me business skills where I could appreciate diverse viewpoints from different functions, from finance, HR, manufacturing, supply chain, so on and so forth. So the first thing I would say is all about the theoretical concept. But in my experience, the real breakthrough came when I was in GE. Because GE extensively used data and analytics. I was in GE in 2004-5, I could see the way they were using data and analytics to get business results. So it was more about, as you said, about change, about bringing people together, about quality data, and of course, technology, all to make it happen. And that's where I was seeing the impact of data and analytics to get business results. So I was very much interested in this to know more about it. I started learning more about Lean Six Sigma, and I ultimately became a Lean Six Sigma instructor in GE, where I used to go and teach the Lean Six Sigma programs. So in my experience, what people today call data science, data analytics, is practically Lean Six Sigma, what GE called Lean Six Sigma almost two decades back when I was in GE. So it's, in my view, it's like old wine in a kind of a new bottle.
You've been doing it for almost 20 years, right? I think some would at least think that it's a pretty new field, data analytics, and it's a very hot career path these days, right? But the potential to do it, as you have showcased, has been there for decades, at least in the big companies. And now it's maybe more becoming household in many companies. You also mentioned some smaller companies there in the beginning. So it's really interesting to hear that longer journey with data analytics. And at the end of the day, it is about identifying the problem, analyzing the situation, and coming up with a solution. And it's similar in Lean, right? So your techniques might be slightly different. Now the data sets you look at might just be bigger. So it's really fascinating.
But Anders, the biggest breakthrough came while I had this conceptual knowledge and the experience from GE about how to implement it. The biggest breakthrough came in the early 2010 when the big data boom started. So when I was looking at the whole thing, because earlier data and analytics was pretty much restricted to the GEs, the Motorola's of the world. But in the 2010, when everybody started about big data, even small companies started looking at data from a different perspective. So after I left GE, when I went for a few other companies as a consultant, the concept of data analytics was not really flying. It was the 2010 big data boom where I brought in my conceptual skills, the teaching skills, which I learned in GE, my PhD skills, my business skills, consulting skills, all those things together, I packaged it. And I basically leveraged the timing, which is the big data concept.
I guess from that time on, you also saw companies being born out of data, whereas maybe before that, it was companies trying to use data within their own means.
Excellent observation. Agreed. Yeah.
So continuing on that thread, in your experience, Prashant, how does data analytics teams or the concept of data analytics create value in a company?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, which I keep getting on how to tell my clients and even sometimes remind myself, how do I create value for my clients? So the fundamentally at the highest level, let's look at the top level. So what do these data analytics teams or programs do? They help in three major things. Number one, they help you increase your revenue. Next, number two, they help you reduce your expenses. And next, number three, they help you mitigate my risk. I'll come to examples in a few seconds. So those at the highest level, those are the three things. Now, the next thing is for what? The next thing is, the purpose is basically three things, which is operations, because you need to run your business operations, whether it's cutting a purchase order or clearing an invoice or so forth. Number one, operations. Next, number two, compliance. You need to capture data because your regulators want it. Like how you have done the maintenance record for your asset if you're an oil and gas company. And the third thing is about decision making. Analytics, many people think that you capture data for analytics, which is true, but analytics generally is a byproduct of operations and compliance activities. Only when the data reaches a critical size from operations and compliance, you will be able to do analytics. So those are the three by three, three purpose and the three purpose of data and three business objectives. Now, but the fundamental thing about data analytics, why companies need to do this, is they have to believe in measurement and performance improvement. Fundamentally, analytics is all about measurement and performance improvement. If you don't believe in this, then the culture of data and analytics is not there in the company. So because analytics provides visibility and visibility drives performance. So if you're not accepting that performance improvement concept that you want to improve, get better, and then analytics will not help you. So don't waste time and money. You're not going very far. Continue to do what you're doing. That's number one. That's the main thing. But coming back to the examples on the three business objectives, I just want to give three things from my practical experience or consulting experience. The first one, when I said about grow revenues. So I was working for a fuel retailing company, and the hypothesis they had was sales is dependent on the weather data. So in Canada is a cold country and weather plays a big role. Weather plays a big role in the way people wash cars. So they said, okay, if it snows And the next day, if it is a warm day, there is a good chance that people will come for car washes. But where do you get the data? So what we did was we looked at the point of sale data and we bought third-party weather data. We integrated it. And then we said, hey, tomorrow it's going to be sunny. Here is a coupon, a $2 discount coupon, which you are sending straight to your app in your phone. We said, come use this coupon, you get $2 off. So that's one thing where we use data and analytics and the weather data to create more revenues. The second thing is about reducing expenses. Like I was with the oil company, a big super major oil company. And then I went to, after 2 years in that company, I went to a smaller Canadian company. And in that, the key metric, the previous company we used was the cost of cutting the purchase orders. So when I went to this company, the Canadian company, after 2 years having that same KPI in my head, innocently I asked in the team meeting, what's the cost of cutting the purchase order? Everybody looked at me and said, what is this guy talking about? But after a few days, they said that the cost of cutting the purchase order was $675. Now they said, this is way above the industry average. So let's do something to reduce those. So as I said earlier, analytics is about measurement and performance improvement. So they measure the cost of cutting the purchase orders. And today, the same company, they brought the cost of cutting the purchase orders to $425. The industry average is about $380 or something, but they have worked on $675 in 2012 to today, 2022, they are at around $400+. And the third one is about managing risk. Again, in a retail company, we used data to manage slow-moving inventory. We classified every inventory items into A, B, C, and D. And we said D-class items are slow-moving, and we want to get the visibility of those D-class items and see what we can do, whether we have to renegotiate the terms with the vendors, even terminate the contracts and offer discounts, promotions, rebates, all those things for D-class items so that they quickly move out of the shelves. So bottom line, whether you're talking about increasing revenues, reducing expenses, or mitigating risk, it's all about visibility and performance. It's all about actionable insights so that you get those insights and convert them into business actions.
Those are some amazing examples, Prashant. And I think often a lot of us struggle with, we understand maybe the high level concept, but we haven't heard about practical examples where this has been applied. So really loving all those three examples. And there was one thing you mentioned, that one of them say, we had a hypothesis around something that we needed to analyze. And I think what many professionals struggle with both in finance, where we're based, and in data analytics is that they think we just analyze some stuff and then the answer will appear. But if you don't have a hypothesis around what would need to be true for a solution to be good or for a root cause to be the right root cause, then you're just analyzing, never reaching any outcome. So you might get visibility, but you don't know what kind of performance you want to improve. So really like that we had a hypothesis around weather and car wash, and then we found the data, and then we actually could implement the coupon. I think it's a great example of how, you know, analytical professionals should work to create value. So really an excellent point there. So if this is how we create value, what are then the key skills that a professional needs to be successful in data analytics? What have you sort of seen, and what have you sort of developed yourself?
Oh, this again, a great question. So when people generally ask me, what are the kind of skills? And if you look at social media, for example, most of the discussions around skills are on hard skills. I'm not disputing that hard skills are required. When I talk about hard skills, I'm specifically talking about three hard skills. One is skills on business, because you are ultimately solving business problem. You need to understand how business works, what are the business problems and so on. Next, number two, it's about IT or programming. You need to have good skills in Excel, in Python, R, because in my experience, these are the top three tools which I use at work. And these are generally the most popular tools. Each of them has got pros and cons or advantages. But overall, if you have a good idea about Excel plus Python or R, you are good with that. So that's number two on the hard skills. Next, number three is about statistics or maths. You need to understand about, see if the regression is throwing a p-value. You need to understand what is this p-value all about? What is this f-value, r-squares? So some basic skill about statistics and maths. So these are the hard skills. But most importantly, in my experience, I have seen that it is actually the soft skills which are really important to get success out of data analytics or being a good data analytics professional. So there are many soft skills which you can list. There are plenty of them. But in my experience, what I have seen is three key skills. I call them three C's. The first one is about communication. So when I talk about communication, not just about talking or writing, it's also about listening, about understanding the needs of your stakeholders or customers. So that's number one. Number two, it's about collaboration. Data analytics, you are working with diverse skills. You are working with data teams. You are working with IT. You are working with business. You are working with data governance team. You are working sometimes even with regulators or external parties. So it's all about collaboration, working with different teams and bringing them all together. And the last is about critical thinking, which is about problem solving and making quick and good decisions. Because you might get very good insights, but if you're not able to take insights from data analytics and make decisions quickly, then it's pretty much useless. Because they say that in data analytics, a delayed decision is, you might have a delayed decision, which is based on a great insight, but it's practically a bad decision.
I love everything you said there. Of course, you know, being one who deals with helping other professionals become better at soft skills, and naturally, I also think that's, those are pretty important. But I think also the business skills, I think we can take for granted that you can learn about the coding and the math and the statistics, not to say that it's easy just to learn it. We should not take it for granted that you can learn those skills, but actually understanding about business so that you have a context in which you can actually analyze stuff. I think that's sometimes also downplayed a little bit. Basically just say people need to have business acumen. Now let's focus on developing something else. So I think it also takes some conscious effort to also develop the business skills, but absolutely the soft skills, they are so critical to being successful. And would you also say that these are the hardest skills to acquire for data analytics professionals, or what would be the hardest ones to acquire and why maybe?
Yeah, as you said, the hard skills are relatively easier. They're also tough. I'm not saying that, I'm not discounting the hard skills. They're also harder to have. They might be easier to quantify than the soft skills. But in my experience, the soft skills are the ones which are the key for being a successful or a good data analytics professional. Because ultimately in data analytics, at the end, you are working with people. And when you talk about people, it's about change. I was working for a data analytics for a refinery, and I had used tons of data from the refinery, and very innocently, very passionately, I went to the meeting and I told them that, hey, if you do these things, the refinery will save $8 million per year. So I was very excited that I found something great and I have a very tangible metric to do it. But actually in the room, there was this refinery manager was mad at me because he thought that I am producing these numbers as a reflection of his performance, that he didn't do his job and there is $8 million left on the table and which he is not able to see and I am able to see. But as a pure data analytics person, I have done perfectly every job right, business impact, quality data, accuracy. I could even justify where I got this $8 million. But this person who is supposed to bring that change, ultimately, I'm not a refinery manager. I can give the areas or the levers where you can get this $8 million, but ultimately, he has to work on it. Because if he's not on board with your idea, the greatest insight which you have is practically useless. So ultimately, the soft skills are the ones which are more important than the hard skills, because primarily, you're working with people and you're managing change.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sitting here smiling and laughing. Of course, no one is able to see that, but it's just, I just hear these issues from almost any professional out there that I deal with. And we all, you know, we often ask, so how important would you say communication or the ability to communicate is for your career success? And it's between 9 to 5 and 10 on a 10-point scale, almost every time we ask. And then we also ask, so how much training have you received during your career? And it's typically around 5, right? So there's a 4 to 5-point gap between importance of success and actually having trained and worked to develop these skills. So I feel so poorly for these both data analytics professionals and finance professionals that they need to develop this, but they just haven't spent enough time there. And that's why their $8 million savings potential is just falling for deaf ears, because they are not able to influence these business people. So it's sad, but of course, it also means that there's a huge opportunity. And maybe going off of that, so knowing the skills and how to be successful, but how does then that data analytics team work in the most optimal way in a company to ensure that people actually listen and they take the insights and they make the right decisions? How have you seen these teams best work?
This is an interesting question. At least in the field of data analytics these days, it is a hotly debated question. So broadly, in what I have seen these days is you can classify the whole enterprise structure into two sectors. One is the very large corporates like the JP Morgans, the Shells or Walmarts of the world. That's a very huge corporate. Next, number two, you have the small and medium companies. When I said small and medium companies, which are less than probably 10 billion in revenue. But you can't come up with the same strategy, whether it's your big company or a small or a medium company. So if you look at the big company like the JP Morgans, the Shells of the world, probably the CDO's office, the chief data officer's office, or the data teams might be an option to go because you are a corporate, you're global, you're large, your size is big, and you need to take care of risk, governance, and all those things. But for many companies, that CDO's team might not be relevant. It might be too much. Like, for example, I go to a company which has 100 million in revenue, and they just have some basic org structure with 100 people. Now you say that even in some places, they don't even have a proper CFO. A CFO is managing even procurement activities, supply chain, and it's basically a business officer thing who is doing, and there is a finance manager below and so on. Now, if I go to this company, which is just about 100, 200 million to revenue, I say, hey, you need to have a chief data officer and everything. That's like a overkill for them. So in that case, what I've told my clients is that if you're a large company, probably a CDO's office might be good. But if you're a small and medium company, look at your CFO. The CFO has got some great skills to manage the data teams, and he could be the right person. So then people ask me, why CFO? Why the CFO's office? So I give them three reasons why the CFO could be your chief data officer. The first one is the CFO function is inherently data-centric because they have been working on regulations, IFRS, GAAP, water privacy, so on and so forth, and ultimately it is the CFO who is responsible for it. Next, number two, which I said earlier about the soft skills, it's collaboration. The funny thing about the CFO's officers, they don't create data per se, but they own the data. Like the data is actually created by procurement, marketing, HR, so on. When it hits the GL, the CFOs take ownership of the data. So they are very good in collaborating with different stakeholders from different business units and partnering with different business units and making things happen. And lastly, they have, as traditionally I've seen, they have a knack of working with KPIs and metrics. So ultimately, data analytics was performance based on KPIs. And I think the CFOs is your next bet for a small company. If you're a $100, $200, $500 million company, or even to $1 or $2 billion company, look at your CFO. And he might be the person who can manage the data analytics team.
I'm, of course, very happy to hear that, Prashant. And of course, lately, I've spoken a lot about the potential conflict between the finance team and the data analytics teams. I mean, both are working on generating insights to help make better decisions. So maybe not so much in the small companies, but in some of the bigger companies that you work with, do you see this conflict play out or not?
No, definitely. We see this conflict playing out. So one of the ways I have been seeing to solve this problem is by incorporating a role. It may not be a position, but at least a role called the citizen data scientist. So this term was actually coined by Gartner, and I am a strong believer in this concept of citizen data scientist because I believe the person who is closest to data is the one who can transform the data and insights into business results. So if you're a little bit far from the data or the, because data ultimately is the reflection of the business process, you need to be closer to the business process and data reflects that. So whether you are in finance or procurement or HR or marketing, wherever you are, I see the citizen data scientist is the one who is well equipped to get results out of data and insights. So if you look at the data teams, what I see is their role, at least going forward, should be on making sure that there is good quality data available for the citizen data scientist to draw this data and derive insights. Because the data in almost every company is in different systems and different formats and everything. So consolidate the data, unify the data, aggregate the data, complement data, even procure data from even third-party sources and make it available in your canonical system or like a data warehouse or a data lake so that your citizen data scientists, so that they don't care how are you bringing the data, just provide them the data. They will learn the models, use the models, and derive the insights and use them for business results. They don't have to know about all the IT stuff, about which API to call, how to clean the data, which system to look for, how to build these programs, and so on and so forth. So they just, that for the data teams, I believe, should focus more on getting the data for the business, and business should use that data and transform it in insight. I see it like to clap, you need two hands, left hand and right hand. Right hand is the business, left hand is the IT, or vice versa, whatever you want to say. You need both of them to work.
Absolutely. And if you think of finance and data analytics teams, right? So hear what you say about the analytics that they need to ensure the data is ready, available, and in high quality. But how do you see that these finance and data analytics teams work best together to maximize the business value and ensure that business leaders can actually use the insights that the data can potentially generate?
The first thing is assessment. Understand where you are in the data and analytics maturity. Yeah, in my consulting journey, when I go to the clients, the first thing which I do is, where are you? You know, there is a joke, right, which we have heard. There is no point in preaching religion to a hungry man. So if I go to a company which is struggling on data quality and I start advising them, hey, Uber is doing it, Facebook is doing it, it's meaningless for them. I have to craft solutions based on the problem which they're confronted with. The first step is to get business value, is to assess. And in my company, what I do is on a scale of 1 to 4, I give them a score saying that your 4 is excellent, 1 is bad. And I say, this is your score, 1.5. And then on 1.5, let's make a plan. In the next 6 months, let's go to 2. You can't straight away jump from 1.5 to 4. So in the next 6 months, let's go to 2. And in the next 6 more months, let's go to 2.5 or to 3. And these are all the things which you need to do. So what are those things? Which is the second step, which is the use cases. We work on business use cases and prioritize them and saying that this goes in the first tranche, this goes in the second tranche, this goes in the third tranche. And when you do those 3 tranches, in the next 1 year or 1.5 years, you will move from 1.5 to probably 2.5 or 2.75, so on and so forth. So I think the whole job, maximizing business value, starts with assessment to know where you are and then looking at the right use cases. This is what we are talking about to do business impact. And when I talk about the use cases, under the use cases, I'm a big fan of leveraging predictive and prescriptive analytics as well over historical reports. Like I have a story, like you are going on a vacation tomorrow, which is September 20th. Do you like me giving a weather report of tomorrow, September 20th, 2022, or a weather report which is accurate and beautiful of September 20th, 2018? So there's no point in looking at historical data to make decisions about the future. So you need to have predictive analytics, even if it is 60-70% accurate, to make it happen. So my thing is about, when you talk about use cases, it has to be a combination of both lagging KPIs and leading KPIs to make good decisions.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, yeah, Prashant. So thanks a lot for sharing that. So many great insights from this talk here. We're coming towards the end, but just on the topic of data analytics and working together with finance teams, are there any sort of final thoughts you'd like to share or some golden nuggets that you would like your listeners to take away and say, hey, this is something I should maybe do differently if I work in this space?
Oh, sure. I use my favorite quote. So in my view, every company today is a data company. You might be a refinery, you might be in utilities, you might be a retail, you might be tech, you might be in healthcare, but every company today is using data analytics for a business, for better business results. So that means every person in the company is a data person. You don't need a data scientist title to work on data. Today, working with data is just like having a communication skills, negotiating skills, interpersonal skills. It's become as elementary as those kind of essential skills. It's given that when I hire you as a trader, you know how to work with data. When I hire you as a procurement manager, I know that you work with data. When I hire you as an AP clerk, I know that you know the basic skills of data. So the fundamentals, so every person today is the data person. And this trend will continue to grow and become bigger and more impactful in the coming years. Because they say that in the next few years, the amount of data that is going to be captured will almost double every day by 2025. So there's going to be huge amounts of data companies are going to use. And you need to have some key skills or some basic data analytics skills to use that resource so that you can transform your data into a business asset. Yeah.
That makes great sense. And it's kind of like rephrasing the old saying that, you know, the sales department is not the whole company, but everyone better be selling. You can now say that everyone in the company is not a data scientist, but everyone in the company better be working with the data and understanding how we can extract value from it. So that's really a great way to end this talk here. So thanks a lot, Prashant, for being on the Hashtag Finance Master show and podcast. We really appreciate the insights that you brought to the table. And to all the listeners out there, if you're not connected with Prashant on LinkedIn, or if you want to learn more about these topics, look him up. He has great books as well that you can leverage to learn more about this topic. So Prashant, thanks a lot, and hope to speak to you again another time.
Thanks, Anders.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?